DW Deutsche Welle. World in Progress.
Welcome to the show. I'm Sarah Steffen. Alexandria, the city in the north of Egypt, is a place where past and present collide.
Every child in Alexandria grows up hearing the expression Iskandariya kanet jamila zaman. Alexandria was beautiful in the past. It was once glorious, but you only get its crumbs.
7 years ago, maybe we have this hope, and now most of our friends, they all left Egypt or in jail.
Now we are kind of defeated in some battles, but many will try to achieve those dreams.
Alexandria was and still is a symbol of tolerance.
With more than 5 million inhabitants, Alexandria is Egypt's second largest city. And it faces all the problems of a typical Egyptian city. Overpopulation, too much garbage, traffic, overbearing governance, and crushing poverty. And since its foundation more than 2 millennia ago, it has been a place where past and present collide. Up until the early 20th century, Alexandria was a cosmopolitan idol, dubbed the Paris of the Middle East. A few years ago, during the Arab Spring, it was a hotbed of political activists and visionaries. Today, many are disillusioned. So, what happened to people's dreams? Egypt correspondent Anna Osios went to Alexandria to find out. Her documentary is presented by Anke Raspa.
There's a dense crowd around Alexandria's historic train station. Merchants are showing off their wares, plastic toys, sunglasses, cans of soda. Trams, so old they would look more at home in a museum, ring their bells as they rattle over the cobblestones. Alexandria has one of the oldest tram networks in the world, with outdated vehicles from European cities like Prague, Rostock or Darmstadt still in operation here. Just as old are Alexandria's rickety black and yellow cabs, honking their horns as they make way for the trams. The city still boasts a number of magnificent buildings. With their turrets and columns, they are reminiscent of a bygone era. Plaster is peeling from the facades. Mohammed Sayed sits outside a cafe, drinking tea. An old man, he still remembers what Iskandria, the city of his childhood, used to be like.
Those old houses had 6-meter-high ceilings. You could open the windows for fresh air. Today, you can almost touch the ceiling with your hand. The staircases were very wide. Many of the old houses and villas have been demolished. They've been replaced by high-rises.
Back then, even the inhabitants of Alexandria were different, remembers Sayed. Up until the 1950s, the city was full of foreigners, Italians, Greeks, Frenchmen, people from all over the Mediterranean region. Many thousands had moved here and chosen the cosmopolitan city as their new home.
It was a simple life, but a beautiful one. We were content. Unfortunately, most of the foreigners who lived here have now either moved away or died. There are only a few left.
Alexandria, I come to you and drown in your beauty, sings the Egyptian performer Mohamed Mounir. But what's left of this beauty today? There are now only a few areas in the city reminiscent of the Alexandria of old. Along the famous Corniche Promenade along the waterfront, many magnificent historic buildings are still standing, although often they're in poor condition. Mohamed Awad's office is down a small side street. The architect teaches at Alexandria University and has set himself the task of preserving the heritage of Egypt's Mediterranean metropolis.
Alexandria was a symbol of this cosmopolitanism of Egypt. It was, you know, the Dolce Vita. They could make fortunes in Egypt and live well in Egypt. This is why it was a paradise for the different communities that lived in Egypt. Very beautiful little Paris, with even a more sophisticated atmosphere of the British, the French, the variety of things, the variety of food, restaurants, clubs. This idea of having all these communities living together was a very enriching experience, the cosmopolitan life of Alexandria.
Awad quotes a famous poet who captured the spirit of the city.
Nous sommes plus en Afrique, nous faisons partie de l'Europe. We are not anymore in Africa. We are part of Europe. This is 1860. We were part of Europe.
Old photos show that refugees crossed the Mediterranean back then too, except they traveled in the other direction. People from Greece and Italy used to land their boats on Egyptian shores, coming to Alexandria in the thousands.
Egypt was the paradise of the 19th and 20th century, and people came here like they go to America today, and they go to Australia, to Canada, and they want to go to Germany. People were migrating to Egypt. We were attracting migrants to Egypt, and now we are pushing them out of Egypt.
Awad believes there are many reasons for the decline of the formerly bustling city. Two world wars brought an end to the Europeans' cosmopolitan coexistence, and the emergence of communism in Egypt during the 1950s and 60s left the country impoverished. The rich upper classes emigrated, and with them went Alexandria's splendor. Shortly after, the first wave of Egyptians returning from Saudi Arabia brought with them a new culture, a strict interpretation of Islam. Miniskirts, once a common sight on the streets of Alexandria and Cairo in the 1960s, disappeared. Egypt changed. Today, the slums of Alexandria have become strongholds of the radical Salafists. Awad says preserving the old Alexandria has been a great challenge. Despite being ostensibly protected as historical monuments, beautiful old buildings are torn down again and again, only to be replaced by high-rises.
Well, it's a very sad story. We are fighting furiously this vandalism of trying to demolish the cultural heritage of the city in terms of its architectural heritage and urban heritage. There is a serious problem with conserving the city and its heritage. It's not under control. And in the last maybe 3 years, we lost two very important buildings in the city, the Villa Guillaume, which was built by Auguste Perret. And that villa was one of the early examples of exposed concrete in the world, actually. So it was a very important symbol of modernity and the Art Deco style. We also lost a very beautiful villa in Art Deco style, which is the Villa Sicurel, which was also built by three very important French architects. So from time to time, we lose one or two buildings because we have leaks that happen in this conservation list. But we have a conservation list of all the buildings that need to be preserved in the city. And we also have a mechanism of trying to preserve these buildings. Like I said, it's not 100% tight. At least we are trying our best.
The drama of demolition and decay is visible in many places in Alexandria. Throughout the city, high-rises are thrown up quickly, often without any thought to city planning. Every year, Egypt grows by around 2 million people. The country's population has topped 100 million. Large families and limited use of contraception are still the norm. And these people need housing, especially in the cities, which are growing steadily. In some areas of Alexandria, the old villas have almost completely disappeared. This is also the case near Wabo El Maya, a fairly quiet downtown neighborhood. Just a few years ago, it was home to many magnificent buildings from the 1920s and lovely Art Deco villas. Now, only one villa is left in the entire district, and it belongs to Germany.
Willkommen im Seemannsheim.
Markus Schildhauer and his wife, Karin Streicher, run the Seemannsheim, a German seaman's mission in Alexandria. Funded by the Evangelical Church in Germany, sailors from all over the world who arrive in the port of Alexandria have been looked after here since the 1950s. The old house is an oasis in the middle of the noisy city. Banana trees and bougainvillea grow in the garden with a bird's chirp. Next door to the mission, a 60-meter-high wall juts up into the sky, the side of a 12-story high-rise.
The building right next door was a wonderful old colonial-style mansion with a small grove of old trees. 2 years ago, the old lady who lived there died, and a few days later the construction crew arrived. Now there are only high-rises everywhere. I find it terrible how people are destroying their own culture. There was another villa on the main street where a famous writer used to live, and it was actually a museum. That was also destroyed overnight. But what's really bad is that the infrastructure hasn't kept pace. A new power line hasn't been installed yet, and new sewers haven't been built either. Earlier, this was an area with only small villas, and now they are tall buildings with 30, 40, 50 apartments. The sewage system can't keep up.
Standing in the garden, you can hear not just the birds singing, but also loud cries and shouts, especially in the evening. Directly behind the property, beyond the railway line, is one of Alexandria's prisons. The prison conditions in Egypt are notoriously bad. Without external help, it's difficult to survive a stay there. And so the inmates scream, yelling to their loved ones outside the prison walls, telling them what they need. They also attempt to communicate with their lawyer this way.
My name is Mahinour Al-Masri. I'm a lawyer. I'm 32 years old. I've been part of millions of Egyptians who had been part of the Egyptian revolution.
Mahinour Al-Masri has experienced this firsthand. The young lawyer and well-known human rights activist lives in Alexandria and has been fighting for freedom, democracy and human rights in Egypt since the beginning of the so-called Arab Spring 7 years ago. But it's a difficult fight, she says.
The situation is very hard, especially that Sisi had won for the second term. Many of us had been imprisoned. Some had actually lost their lives. Others left the country. The problem now is that many people are feeling very down and that they have lost hope.
The 32-year-old was in prison herself three times for a total of nearly 2 years. She was only released a few months ago. She says she's experienced the full range of prison life behind bars.
I passed the feeling of being scared. When you come to think of that, you have seen the worst. And there's another thing that even if, for example, I didn't speak out or I didn't say anything, that will not save me. Like, I know many people who actually refrained from doing anything. They said that we are going to be good citizens and they had been arrested and tortured and everything. So I think that there is no individual salvation. So I have to fight for a better and more humane regime and system. So it's better for me at least to speak out than to stay silent and be arrested and tortured. And so it, at least I'll be knowing what I'm being punished for. I think there is no way back.
Al-Masri continues with her struggle. She believes the fight is not lost. Despite all the setbacks, she doesn't want to give up hope for a better future.
The revolution for me is like a war, a battlefield. And now we are kind of defeated in some battles, but the war didn't end. I think when the revolution started, people had like high hopes and dreams, and many will try to achieve those dreams. Even if the counter-revolution, like the military regime and the remnants of the old regime, are trying to come back, but I think we're not dead, so I think we have like a second round, maybe a third round.
But at the moment, there are no signs of this. President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi remains the strong man of Egypt. Even though his popularity may be dwindling, Al-Masri says there is currently no alternative. Egypt is living under a dictatorship.
He's backed by many, many foreign countries. Sisi is benefiting from the idea, from the case of refugees, for example. So this is why he's winning like all the Western countries. And he's playing with the same card internally and internationally, like the idea of the war against terrorism, which is like a winning card for him. Of course, there's terrorism in Egypt, but I think that the system is benefiting from this very well. I think that they are failing to combat terrorism. They are actually trying to silence peaceful opposition, trying to close public spaces. I think this is like the best environment for terrorism to actually flourish.
Al-Sisi appears on posters around the city with the slogan, "The fight against terror is a human right." The Egyptian government has identified combating terrorism as its ultimate goal. But critics say this fight is at the expense of everything else, including human rights, freedom of expression, and democracy. But terrorism does exist in Egypt, and it has been felt here in Alexandria. On Palm Sunday in 2017, a bomb exploded in front of St. Mark's Coptic Orthodox Cathedral, the historic seat of the Coptic Pope, in the middle of the city. The Islamic State claimed responsibility for the attack, as well as another, even deadlier bombing a few hours earlier in Tanta, a city southeast of Alexandria. Combined, these attacks killed almost 50 people. It was a dark day for Egypt. We say goodbye to Al-Masri and make our way down to St. Mark's Cathedral. Access to the church grounds is strictly controlled. It's like entering a maximum security area, complete with barriers, metal detectors and dozens of police. The dents and holes left by last year's explosive attack are still visible in the wrought iron gate. A large poster commemorates the victims. Avanoub Girgis was almost caught up in the attack. He left the church shortly before the bomb exploded.
When I heard the explosion, I immediately knew it was at the church. I started running straight away. I wanted to know what had happened, if something had happened to my friends. Uncle Nassim, who everyone here knew, was lying face down, dead. I had only just greeted him. I was in that spot only 10 minutes before. There were bodies everywhere and a lot of blood. The police, Muslims, were also killed. The youngest victim was a little girl, barely 2 years old.
Girgis can't forget the day of the attack, but he still comes to church. It's his second home, he says. He regularly attends Mass, works as a deacon, and has sung in the choir since he was 5 years old. He says the Coptic community has come together since the attack and grown stronger. The church building and the parish hall are being completely renovated now, and the state has further increased security measures.
Instead of two security controls, there are now four. But this hasn't stopped people from visiting the church. On the contrary, more and more people are coming every week. We are not afraid of terror. The church will not be weakened by persecution. It's getting even stronger.
Egypt's Coptic community stands side by side with President Al-Sisi. They feel protected by him. Girgis wishes for one thing above all else, a peaceful coexistence of Christians and Muslims in Alexandria. But this hasn't been the case for a long time. Divisions and tensions between the two religions are visible on every corner of the city. Alexandria is considered a stronghold of Egypt's Salafists. At a bazaar in the Muslim slum, just a few miles from St. Mark's Cathedral, traders show off their goods, primarily clothes and vegetables. Many women who shop here wear the niqab, a black garment which only leaves the eyes visible. Some even wear gloves. Many men sport long beards and are wearing traditional robes. The area is home to many Salafists. Ahmed Mohammed is one of them. He's our taxi driver, an elderly man with a long beard. He drives a decades-old, beat-up, black and yellow Lada. He says he and his fellow believers are represented everywhere in Alexandria.
We have a strong presence in many neighborhoods of Alexandria. We are strongest in the southeast of the city, but also along the north coast. There are many Salafists along the whole Mediterranean coast. I, too, am a Salafist. In the 1970s, there was a lot of Salafists' missionary activity here in Alexandria. There are many movements. And to this day, the youth idolize a religious leader above anything else, even more than they should.
Mohammed is critical of some of the recent developments in the Salafist movement. For example, the politicization of faith and the movement's active involvement in politics. Egyptian Salafists are considered to be close to the government, in contrast to the Muslim Brotherhood, which is currently opposed by the state. The ultra-conservative Salafist Al-Nur party supported al-Sisi in the March election. Taxi driver Ahmed Mohammed emphasizes that his focus is on the core of the religious teaching and his relationship with God.
The Salafist movement which I belong to rejects interference in politics. I also reject any kind of coup, demonstrations or opposition of the leader. If you were to ask me about my personal opinion of the current leader of Egypt, I would say that he is unfair. But I cannot oppose him. The revolution 7 years ago brought us nothing. It only worsened the situation. But we cannot interfere.
So, should Egyptians stay out of politics? Today, Alexandria is less divided along religious lines than it is on different ways of life, how to think, the desire for freedom in the midst of oppression, and of course, the question of what that freedom should look like.
You are a part of this cultural life.
Funder.
Please.
Funder. On the rooftop terrace in the middle of Alexandria's city center, dissenters meet and discuss the state of the country. They are Alexandria's artists, painters, photographers, theater directors. For security reasons, they'll only be identified by their first name. These people want to see change in Egypt, and they are taking refuge in the world of art.
It is possible somehow with many struggles. It is a political atmosphere and also the societal atmosphere. It's not encouraging because not a lot of people will support this. We have a censorship. We have a self-censorship. It's very, very strong also.
Adele is a theater director.
Theater gives the people opportunity to see something different and to practice something different, to practice another layer of freedom. Yeah, and now many theater pieces were censored from the universities in the governmental structures. They banned some theater pieces. So in the independent scene, we are trying. We don't know. They can close it anytime. Also, we can't live because also the financial resources is very few. But we are trying, and at least we are trying to establish platforms, document the practices, so people, if we stopped, other people can continue.
Adele has also staged productions at the Berlin Theatertreffen, the most important German festival for contemporary theatre. He especially wants to motivate young Egyptians to get involved.
Our aim is to encourage more young people to participate in theater, and especially political theater, because it's more democratic than anything else. Or the democratic that I believe in, it will be in the art more than the politics. Like it will come with a change of the awareness about politics and about society and about the rights and about the freedom. What is the freedom? And this is will happen when people talk and express themselves.
In light of the current political situation, for photographer Jasmine, Alexandria has a wistful feeling, an echo of the old cosmopolitan city.
Alexandria today is a city of memories, a city of nostalgia. It's because we refuse the present and we are searching for something. 7 years ago, maybe we have this hope of future of new cosmopolitan city, maybe country with new hopes, and it's vanished now. So we just talk about the past.
So where has that hope gone? The hope of the new future for many young Egyptians.
7 years ago, we were in the early 30s or 20s, and we have this hope. And now, most of our friends, they all left Egypt or in jail. So we don't want to leave or to go to prison. So I just stayed.
But Jasmine still has hopes for the next generation. She works with children from different social backgrounds across Alexandria, from Salafists to liberals and those living in poverty. She wants to bring these different groups together to help them overcome their prejudices as well as her own preconceptions.
Even if I don't share the same idea with Salafists, but in the same time I have to accept them, because if not, what I'm learning the children, if I don't accept them, I don't like. Okay, I'm waiting for the others, that the European ones, that they come with the freedom. But I don't accept my neighbor because he is Salafist. I don't want to be Salafist. I don't want them to tell me to put this veil or something like this. But I have to defend the right to live. For myself, as artist and as woman, I worked on myself for 3 or 4 years now, to accept the Islamists. It's not just accepting what I like.
Sami, who runs a cultural center in Alexandria, is convinced that art and creativity can bring together different social groups and help them to face terror together.
Culture and arts and beauty, it will be an answer for all the violence that we are facing every day. We have this face. We have to continue more and we have to work more to reach more people and to encourage this new spirit of beauty for the city and for the world. And I think we are changing a lot of young people that come to our places, Muslims, Christians from different backgrounds. They are getting more tolerant after participating in the activities, participating in the cultural life. They are discovering the other through tools like cultural events.
So will the cosmopolitan city of Alexandria emerge once again someday in the future? Sayed hopes, despite all the radical movements, that in the end, tolerance will win.
Alexandria was and still is a symbol of tolerance. I'm Muslim, my neighbor is Christian. That shouldn't be a problem, because paradise belongs to God alone. You should just live your life and be good to others, because that's all that remains.
The humble man with a moustache radiates excitement when he talks about the old Alexandria. There's a sparkle in his eyes, as though he can picture the rich history right in front of him.
I love the past. History is the shadow of man on this world, and geography is the shadow of the earth on man.
The Mediterranean surf crashes against the sea walls as shadows settle on the peeling plaster of the city's aging buildings. A local man looks over and smiles at the visitors, welcoming us to his Iskandria. Despite all the changes, an echo of the beauty and openness of the lost cosmopolitan city can still be felt in today's Alexandria.
This documentary by Anna Osios on Alexandria was presented by Anke Raspa. And that's our show for this week. If you'd like, you can listen to World in Progress again. Just go to dw.com/World in Progress. You'll find the most current and our past episodes there, with links to DW's Media Center, iTunes and SoundCloud. Thanks very much from all of us in the studio, Eliane Gagliarducci, Gerd Georgi and me, Sarah Steffen. Bye for now.